Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. On 104.5 The Zone.
Today, live from Nashville Speed Shop. Look around, Chad. Paul, turn around and look.
Kirby talking somebody's ear off?
Hundreds of thousands of dollars around us with some specialty cars. Which one would Simon go for today?
Simon is all about convertibles. I'd be curious what he thought about these big convertibles as opposed to the small convertibles.
Yeah.
I think he would love this white one right in front of us. But I'm gonna come back. Well, I'm gonna take pictures. I've taken all the cars in the garage. I've taken.
So this right here in front of you is the Corvette, the white Corvette.
He loves Corvette.
On the other side,
Mustangs. Are there any Mustangs here?
Oh yeah, they've got some Mustangs back there. Right. There's also behind the Zone Sprinter, the Ferrari back there.
Oh, he likes that. I'm gonna take a slideshow to him, and tomorrow we'll declare a winner. The 11-year-old winner of everything here at Nashville Speed Show.
Oh, I see the Ferrari now.
Yeah.
There
what
it is,
color Kat. Is it?
It is white, and it is spectacular, let me tell you.
I'd be scared to drive any of these off the lot, right, for a little test run.
See, that's one I'd like to get inside of. Like, you know, there's not a lot of. I'm not like the. I want to get in a car and take a picture in it.
Inside of you.
I want to get inside that Ferrari right now.
Ferrari, I've entered you. I can hear Chad now.
Hello, Ferrari. We've entered you.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Let's go to the phones and say hello to Kirk. Kirk, welcome.
How you doing, fellas? I got two statements and one question. First of all, we got to acknowledge how good Tyson Bello was yesterday. We wasn't expecting that going in, but we'll take it. Number two, Paul, you've been killing it this year. Wasn't a big fan, but I am now.
Wow.
What brought you aboard?
Number three.
Hold on, let's pause on number two.
Was it the NBA story?
let's pause on number two. What brought you over to my side?
You was just too honest about Marcus Mariota. We've seen too many good games. We just hoping, quitting hard to think he's a good quarterback. But truth was, he wasn't.
Okay, continue.
And the question is, why are these receivers running wide open consistently on third down?
Yeah, well, the cornerbacks, Jonathan Joseph in particular, plays so far off. People keep asking me why he plays so far off. There's a simple reason why cornerbacks play so far off. They're scared bleepless about somebody running past them. That's why you play so far off. There's no other reason. Look, we've seen coaches telling them to move up, move up, move up. They don't move up because they're scared of getting run past. That's it.
Well, and it's a legitimate fear when it comes to Jonathan Joseph. It's not like he shouldn't be afraid.
That's... Right. But when there's sticks in front of him, you know, they're definitely throwing to the sticks, and he's thinking, well, look, they might throw to the sticks, or they might double move me. It's and throw to the end zone, those pylons.
It's like walking in a really bad neighborhood at night, and you see a guy wielding a knife and being afraid of being stabbed and robbed. That's like Jonathan Joseph being afraid of being run past, right? It's a legitimate fear. He sees the receiver that's faster than he is, and he thinks, I'm going to play off this guy and keep him in front.
Another caller who I'm sure loves Paul, Bubba, is next up. Right, hey, Bubba.
God. Hey, guys. Good morning. Hi. So I got a few things. If we're going to lose to anybody, and, well, I look at it as we were tested. If we were going to be tested and lose on that test, I feel like it's going to be the Steelers. It sets us up for everybody else. I had us losing three games this year, and possibly the Ravens, and possibly Green Bay. But hopefully neither. I feel like if we're going to point the finger at any specific reason why we lost, blame it on the whole special team. And then last thing, do you guys feel like at the very end, I feel like the kicker was rushed. The whole team was rushed. I feel like Vrabel not should have iced our kicker, but, you know, kind of calmed them. We had like, anytime you see yellow, clicking, I feel like take a timeout, especially during a field goal. We could have composed him. I feel like he was rushed. He could have had it with a timeout. I hang up.
Did they have a timeout?
I'm not thinking that they should have stopped and tried to look. They know the circumstance on the sidelines. having been down there and listening to Brett Kern talk through things with Ryan Succop, they are they're in constant communication about down and distance and circumstance and protocol for when they're headed out and where the football needs to be. So I don't think that they're rushed to get out there and kick a field goal.
I don't think that was the miss. He hit it pure and straight. I mean, he felt like he hit it pure and straight. He said it faded. Yep. I don't think it's a fade when it goes that hard. I call that a slice.
They had,
I hope I hit a fade when I'm golfing. Usually it's a slice.
So in a loss, it magnifies the miscues. And they had a lot of miscues on special teams and plenty on defense. And we've seen that through this first, what, six games of the season. And in the past, what makes this team good is they're opportunistic with their turnovers. We mentioned that. Their special teams have been okay, you know, not costing them games. And for the most part, not costing them yardage and field position. And offensively, they can put up points in the red zone and put up some big numbers on the scoreboard. That mask can kind of push the issues to the side a bit, put them on the back burner because you continue to win. And when you lose and you're down 24-7 at half, and is it being 27-7 early third quarter, you're thinking, okay, the route is on. And because they're that good offensively, and defensively, they only allowed 3 points in the second half. That's the best half of football they've played in the second half this season.
It was an inspired defensive effort in the second half.
It was better. There's some encouraging things despite their loss.
Doesn't matter.
But there's also, again, I agree, Paul, there's also miscues that they have to improve on, must improve on, if they want to be the team that they set out to be.
Special teams was a train wreck. I mean, that was his first point. If you're gonna place the top end of blame in this game, it's on special
teams.
Let's
run through that again. You've got the kickoff penalty on Bates.
Yeah, I've got them.
Go ahead.
They had, sorry, Paul, let me pull this up for you. They started with the hold on the kickoff return. Kern dropped a poor snap on a punt. They allowed a 57-yard punt return, which set up the touchdown that made it 24-7. Khalif Raymond dropped a kickoff return that cost the offense field position, and they missed the 45-yard field goal at the end. And in between all that, I'm sure there were some missed tackles and some other things that aren't just jumping out to us.
List. That's a five-point list. You can make one special teams mistake, maybe, and it can't be the 57-yard punt return, and it can't be the 45-yard missed field goal.
Todd is our next caller. Todd, thanks for waiting.
Hey, what's up, guys? Calling you from California. Just a couple of quick notes.
Greetings.
You know your boy Will Compton played for Jim Haslett when he was with the Skins and all of my, Washington football team. Mm-hmm. And all of my friends that are still fans there just said this guy's atrocious. But I'm more concerned about the coaching because, you know, we've been getting away with it and the wins have been covering it over and it gives you that nice high throughout the heart attack games we've been watching. But it's like, man, these guys are getting worse on defense. And why haven't we heard from Anthony Midget? Like, the secondary looks like they're not doing well. Adoree's not Deion Sanders, but he's decent. The linebackers are just disappearing. Those guys were killer last year. And it's like, if I see one more interview with the press where the defensive coordinator or Shane Bowen, obviously he doesn't have the title, if I see one more interview where he's so nonchalant, like he's doing amazing, like it's just going to drop you nuts. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I mean, it's standard fare for these guys to say the same things. Nobody's going to come out and say, all right, we're tearing up the third down defense. We're reconstructing everything. We're starting from zero. The sky is falling. It's just not what's going to happen. Got to readjust your expectations if you're looking for that. And you need to say that see the change on Sunday in the on the field, not on Thursday morning in the press conference.
Chad, in a sentence, how would you describe Tennessee's performance against Alabama?
I can do it in a word. Expected.
Okay.
That was about what I expected in that game. We can talk about the quarterback decisions by the coaching staff, which I think you could definitely criticize on that end. I thought, and I was there to see it, it's about what I expected. We're going to get into this a little bit later, too. Jalen Hyatt. We've been hearing about this guy from our VolQuest experts all year. And now we see why we've been hearing about him the whole year. Why not seeing more of that? Why are we not seeing more attempts at that? That would be my big question.
Brent Hubbs is about to join us with the VolQuest report here on The Zone, and we'll discuss that. We will discuss later in the show the first down play calling offensively for the Titans, but I want to get into the third down play call decisions from Jim Chaney and the lack of trust that's showing in Jarrett Garantano, and then the glaring problems that they must have at backup quarterback if they're this conservative on third and long at Tennessee when it comes to offense right now. We'll get Brent Hubbs' take on that coming up. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
The Titans took their first loss of the year by falling to the Steelers.
Gostkowski trying to knot the count. Snap. He's set. Kick on the way.
Okay. Talk about it with us all day today on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, live from Nashville's Feed Shop. 864-7072, the phone number. NashvilleSpeedShop.com, the website. Open till 5 p.m. today. You can come out and check out some great vehicles. Whatever you're in the mood for, they've got it here at Nashville Speed Shop. Great location. We are here until 1 o'clock. And Brent Hubbs is here with us from VolQuest.com. Time for the VolQuest report on this Monday, presented by MTGRT.com. Your live and local mortgage experts. Visit MTGRT.com today. Brent Hubbs joins us from Knoxville. Good to see you, Brent. Hope things are well.
Doing good. Hope you guys are doing well this morning.
Doing very well. I'd like to start with the Tennessee offense. Look, I think any rational fan would have expected that Alabama was going to win this game this past week. And I'd like to think big picture here as they enter the bye week. But look at it from the Alabama game perspective. Did the Vols tamp down and go for conservative play calls on third and long on purpose Saturday, knowing that they had no faith in their quarterback to actually push the ball down the field and not turn it over? What do you think there?
Well, it's certainly what it looks like. You know, they were afraid to throw the football on third and seven. I think they ran it on third and seven some like five or six times. Now, they converted two of them. But then the other, you know, the biggest one that jumps out is after the Alabama turnover in the third quarter, where Tennessee was, you know, the game was over anyway. And Tennessee had, I think, third and three, or it ended up being third and three, and they ran off tackle. Felt like a give up, kind of a give up call there. They had another third and seven where it felt like a give up call. They clearly did not have confidence in Jared to take a lot of chances there, particularly early in the game. And so, yeah, I mean, I think their offensive game plan was conservative. I mean, you know, if you got some one-on-one coverage on the outside, they tried to throw it up top. And then otherwise that, you know, they tried to run the football and they had some moderate success running the football. I mean, that's the most offense they've had against Alabama, I think since, I don't know, 7 or 8 years or something like that. But, you know, obviously that's not saying much in a 48-17 loss.
From the first 10 quarters of the season, Brent, to the last 10 quarters that we've watched, how quickly things have changed. And this is a good time to have a bye week and have a week off because things are not good right now after the last 10 quarters of football. What must they figure out over the next 7 days before they begin the Arkansas week?
Well, I think, one, they've got to gain some confidence in themselves offensively and continue to approach an identity. What's the identity going to be when teams play zone against you in the secondary? Do you have the confidence in your passing game that you can throw the football against zone coverage and that your quarterback can see the field and your receivers can, you know, read the zone holes and things like that? If somebody sits back and dares you and says, hey, you're going to have to drive it 10 plays down the field on us, we're not going to let anybody get behind. Because the best thing Tennessee has done is a chunk play when you think about it. I mean, you go back to South Carolina, they put the game away with two big passing plays, okay, a deep cross and then a takeoff to Josh Palmer. You know, you go to the Georgia game, it's two deep balls. That's all they did offensively. You look back on Saturday against Alabama, it's, again, it's a couple of deep balls. That's the offense. So what are they going to be offensively when somebody says, we're not going to let you do that? That's just, we're going to take that away with safeties over the top, much the way Kentucky did. Look, everybody talks about quarterbacks and everybody talks about the offense. And look, in this league, you got to score points. But they have as many defensive problems as they have offensive problems. Okay, they can't cover anybody in the secondary. The secondary is getting no help right now because they're not getting any quarterback pressures up front. 10 sacks in 5 games, 4 of them coming against South Carolina in the season opener. And really, they haven't had a pass rush since. They didn't get after Mac Jones at all on Saturday. So what do they do defensively to be able to win in the secondary and to win with some kind of pass rush so they can get off the field on third down?
Well, and going back to offense, we heard a lot about Jalin Hyatt throughout the preseason. Been asking the question, where has he been at the start of the season? And we saw him on Saturday. We see the speed element with his game. We know that Garantano, the one throw he makes really well is the deep ball that we saw again on Saturday. Is that something we're going to see more of moving forward and maybe see even another element to Jalin Hyatt's game emerge?
Well, I do think you'll continue to see him emerge. And I think this off week is a good week for him that you can build on some things. He's obviously got confidence and belief that he can play in this league because he's running by defensive backs and he's had success. And, you know, 5 catches in 5 games, he needs to be targeted more. And I think he will be moving forward. I still think, and I don't know what Barry Odom is going to do at Arkansas. They like to mix it up. They really tried to force Ole Miss to be patient in that game that they won. They dropped a lot of guys into coverage, and they tried to make the quarterback make a bunch of skill throws, spied him, didn't let him run around everywhere, and make him beat him with the arm. He threw 7 interceptions. So as exciting as Jalin Hyatt is in terms of running by people on a deep ball and the same for Josh Palmer, I just think defensive coordinators are going to continue to look at Tennessee and look at that Kentucky defensive plan, particularly if they don't have a Georgia-type defense or an Alabama-type defense, where they say, you know what, I'm not sure we can cover them one-on-one on the perimeter. Let's see if Tennessee will be patient enough to drive the length of the field methodically, dinking and dunking their way down the field. Or are they going to get greedy? They got greedy in the Kentucky game. They weren't patient enough. So I think that Jalin Hyatt's exciting. I think he'll play more. He'll be more involved. But I think Tennessee's got to figure out how are they going to beat teams that say, we're going to keep the ball in front of us and make you drive the length of the field patiently.
Brent Hubbs with us, FallQuest.com, the website, MTGRT.com, the website for your live and local mortgage experts. Brent, the 2 weeks now that we have before the next game, doesn't the whole excuse of, well, we don't have these freshmen ready to play just yet, go out the window with this open date and now having the opportunity to work some guys into the lineup?
I think so. I mean, I don't think there's any excuse for not having some packages. But I've been saying this for a couple of weeks. I think you could have got Malachi Wideman on the field earlier. Maybe he can only run 3 or 4 plays for you, but that's 3 or 4 plays. I've seen coaches on this coaching staff get guys ready in limited packages like that. So I know it's doable. And I think that, yes, to answer your question, this is a week should be all about young players. It should be about figuring out, can Key Lawrence help us at corner right now? Can McDonald help us at safety right now? Can we find somebody in the secondary who has the ball skills to make a play on the ball? Mac Jones tried to throw it to Tennessee 3 times in the first half. Trayvon Flowers didn't play the deep ball. He played the receiver. He never played the ball. Kenneth George dropped about his 4th interception at the end of the first half. He dropped 2 against Missouri. And then Bryce Thompson absolutely should have picked that ball off when Mac Jones threw it down the middle of the field to Minchie to the 2-yard line. So that should have been 3 first half Alabama turnovers that Tennessee doesn't have to make a real difficult play on, and they didn't make that play. So I think you absolutely have to look at your young players in some of those key positions, and can they help us? Can we use this week to get them ready? Can Morvin Joseph help us rush the quarterback off the edge? It's a big week for him. Bryson Eason. You got to really work those guys this week to see if you can find a pass rush, which is seemingly non-existent right now. So they've got to use this week very productively with the young players. Absolutely.
And so where do they go from here with quarterback? What do you think they do? What do you think they should do?
Well, I think what they're going to do is they're going to play Jerry Garantano. And I think that they made that pretty clear on Saturday with their decision to start him and to play him essentially the entire game. So it's clear they believe that he gives them the best chance to win and that he's going to be their guy. What's interesting is Brian Maurer goes from fourth team to second team essentially this past week, or apparently this past week, because he's the guy who got on the field and they didn't get Harrison Bailey any snaps. They clearly don't feel like Harrison Bailey's ready. I don't think they're going to be – look, the defense they're going to play against Arkansas is going to be pretty exotic. Barry Odom will do some unusual things. So I think they're going to roll with Jerry Garantano, and I think he'll have a shorter leash. But it sounds like right now if he struggles that Brian Maurer's probably the way to go to have a guy running around back there. But, you know, that's the direction that they are going to go unless somebody suddenly emerges like crazy over this off date, which is very hard to see happen. I think if you're going to make a change, if you're not going to play Jared or if you're going to play two, I do think Brian Maurer's the other guy you got to look at trying to get a package ready for. Maybe you simplify some things for him, but at least he can come in and run the zone read and do some RPO stuff and change the identity a little bit of your offense, change up a little bit what you do. I don't think JT Shroud's going to play because I don't think they believe that he can make a play there, and they clearly don't think Harrison Bailey's ready.
So, Brent, Jeremy Pruitt fires Jimmy Brumbaugh. He says, as he's coaching the defensive line, best few days of practice that they've had all year when he takes over that unit. And they go out and play poorly against Alabama. I know that's a great Alabama offensive line, but they were non-existent in that game for large portions of it. What are the chances that it's just a personnel issue on that defensive line for Tennessee right now, not necessarily a coaching one?
Then why were they better at the end of last year with the same personnel than they are at the beginning of this year?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question, but they weren't better this week with Jeremy Pruitt coaching them either. So I guess then the question is that just Bama being that good up front, and where do you see this line taking steps to be better?
Well, I think they've got to play harder. They've got to play with more intensity. They've got to play more physical. And they probably need to quit rotating every play or every other play. I mean, you know, they're running guys in and out, trying to be a little bit scheme specific or personnel specific, down and distance specific. Maybe you need to let some of those guys play a little bit. But again, I mean, I didn't think they were going to be the strength of the team, but that's a unit that was affected by COVID less than any other unit on the field or on the team this year. And that was a unit that maybe they didn't play great down the stretch last year, but they're a big reason why Tennessee was winning games down the stretch last year, and making some plays because they were pretty solid against the run. They freed the linebackers up to make plays. And obviously that they were somewhat of effective, and they're not playing very well this year, and it's affecting them at linebacker, in some ways. So they've got to play more physical for sure. I think that's where it starts. And that's where it finishes with them. They got to play better pad leverage, and they've got to play physical, but it is the same guys they're playing with a year ago.
And going back to a year ago, one thing we've seen from Jeremy Pruitt coach teams, they can rally. That's certainly what happened the back half of the schedule a year ago. Tennessee gets the bye week right at the halfway point of this season. Brent, do you think they're getting this bye week at a good time? And how do you see this coaching staff handling this bye week and trying to rally this group for some games that still they'll have some winnable games left on the schedule, starting with going to Arkansas when they come back?
Well, I do think I think the bye week comes at a great time for this team. I really do. Look, as much as the Alabama game, you know, is 14 in a row and painful for every Tennessee fan out there, really the game that still hurts this morning more than the Alabama game is the Kentucky loss. Because if you beat Kentucky, you're 3-2, and that's everybody says that's where you're supposed to be anyway, right? But because you didn't win that, when it's a much different narrative and it's a much different feel. The thing that happened last year is they had some key guys get better the back half of the season. Nigel Warrior is a guy that everybody was ready to go to the bench about four games into last season, playing really poorly. And he figured out how to play and played really good football down the stretch. He erased mistakes in the middle of the field last year in that win streak to help Tennessee get there. Do they have somebody emerge like that in the secondary? Because they need help back there. They need safety help. Are they great at corner? Not as good as I thought they would be. Alante's been slowed by an injury. They are playing much worse at safety than I anticipated them playing a year ago. So they've got to find some kind of answer at the safety position. And then offensively, you know, I think they're better up front on the offensive line. I think they got to stay committed to the run game, and then they've got to figure out how they can manage, you know, Jared down the stretch of this season the way they managed him down the stretch of last season.
Brent, who are some of the players that are going to benefit the most from this week off? Who's banged up that really needs the week of rest?
I think Trey Smith needs the week of rest in a big way. He's got shoulder. He's got an elbow injury. He tweaked his knee in pregame warmups and then got shaken up again during the game on Saturday. So I think this is a shutdown week for Trey Smith. And you try to get him – you certainly try to get him well. I think Alante Taylor benefits from this week. I think he pushed through last week, but I think resting that hamstring for him this week is a very positive thing. Jared's got a little bit of – Garantano's got a little bit of a hand deal, but it's not significant. I don't think they rest him because he needs the work, but he's not going to get beat up. So he probably needs the week off to kind of heal his body a little bit that way. And I'd say Eric Gray too, because Eric's not the biggest guy in the world. He's taking a lot of touches, taking a lot of contact. I'm sure his body's feeling it a little bit there. Jameer Johnson, who played, will benefit with that ankle injury. He'll improve. And I think Wanya Morris and Jerome Carvin are two guys who very much need the open day. They should have better competition on the offensive line going into this week and next week, and more depth on the offensive line than they've had all year, because they should be healthier and they should be more prepared to play because they haven't been in contact tracing like they were in preseason.
We're in the midst of this three-game slide right now for Tennessee. How is recruiting gone? Because coming into the season with this highly rated recruiting class, the thought was, well, if things go south, that could be bad for this class. You guys at VolQuest are talking to recruits all the time. How is that class looking right now in the face of some adversity with this Tennessee team on the field?
Well, they seem to be holding fine right now. I mean, the guys who are committed seem to still be solid Tennessee. They seem to be holding pretty good there. There's certainly some schools coming after them. You know, Auburn was a school Tennessee was going head-to-head with. It's not going great on the plains right now. If it weren't for some help from officiating, they would have two more losses and things would be really ugly for Gus Malzahn on the plains. They have benefited from two officiating mistakes in the first half of this season. So, you know, I think Tennessee's holding steady with the guys that they have. You certainly worry about Terrence Lewis down in South Florida, what's going to happen there. But that you were going to worry about that one if Tennessee were 4-1 right now, I think. So, but overall, I think it's holding up okay. Now, I don't think they're positioning themselves great to close with some of the big names that they've got on the board because of where they're at on the field right now.
Brent Hubbs with us from VolQuest.com with the VolQuest Report presented by MTGRT.com. Your live and local mortgage experts. Visit MTGRT.com today.
Hey, Brent, one quick recruiting question also for not this class, but the class after. How big was it to get Ty Simpson from Martin, Tennessee for a second straight week, even after watching Tennessee lose 34-7 to Kentucky, to come back again this week for a visit?
Well, I think it's huge, and I think it's important because if Tennessee is going to get Ty Simpson, I think they're going to get him on the hope that and his belief that he can come in and change the fortunes of Tennessee. But to get him, they're probably going to have to get him based on his relationships with people on campus, in particular future teammates. So I think having him back in town where he could spend time with those guys and continue to bond with those guys is significant. So I think having him here back-to-back weeks is really good. Now, he's going to see Clemson in the coming weeks, and you know that's one that Tennessee is going to have to beat out. I think that's the two schools ultimately for him. But to have Ty back-to-back weeks to hang out with potential future teammates, I think is important because, again, you're not going to sell a championship. You're not going to sell the playoffs to Ty Simpson the way Clemson's going to sell it to him with where their program is right now.
Brent, thank you as always, man. We enjoy having you and Austin on for the VolQuest Report each Monday. And then, of course, we'll have the VolQuest Hour with you this coming Friday. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody.
Yeah. Same to you, Brent. Thank you. Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com, the website for all of your Vols coverage. Coming up, I'd like the floor for 5 minutes to show you guys a surprise. You know of the Blitz dinners that Coach Mack and
a
I...
A brand new car!
You know, yeah, the Maserati.
We'll take this white one over
Bring
here.
Bring that Ferrari up here.
you know of the Blitz dinners that Mack and I host from time to time. And we had one last week where a great friend gifted us with something each. And I brought my gift with me to show you guys.
Jonathan Hutton bobblehead.
You are going to be shocked by it, okay. I think.
The floor is yours, Hutton.
Okay. Kirby face dartboard.
You have been granted the floor.
Kirby's even intrigued by this.
The distinguished gentleman from Tennessee now has the floor.
I know both of you will be. That's next on the Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Coming up tomorrow morning.
On the next J. Martin Ramon, we have plenty of questions. Can the Titans fix their third down defense? David Beauclair of SI.com chimes in.
After a three-game losing streak, are the Vols broken?
Plus, we'll do our weekly top seven bottom three teams in the NFL.
And, of course, we will talk about AB in Tampa Bay.
That's all on the next J. Martin and Ramon.
Don't do that. It's no more.
Jason Martin and Ramon Foster. Tomorrow morning from 6 to 9 on 104. 5 The Zone.
We are live from Nashville Speed Shop on the Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
We just did. We walked down the row of cars here where we're broadcasting live from. We put it on our Instagram story, at Midday180s, where you can find us. During the next break tab, we need to go to the back of the garage.
Yes. Oh, that's great. And that because also the garage, it's like four deep on everyone. So we can get a lot more cars in that Instagram story.
Yeah, I've walked through there. It's pretty cool.
I need to get in that Ferrari, too.
So this past Thursday night, Coach Mack and I, along with the great Craig Nance, we hosted our, 80th Mack Hut Blitz Dinner.
It was the 80th official Mack Hut Blitz Dinner. There's been some unofficial ones also.
I've been at a few.
There's been some unofficial.
You guys are always welcome. Anytime you want to go to dinner, we can make a Mack Hut Blitz Dinner in your honor. And Duke Turnbow, longtime Midday 180 season ticket holder, great friend.
Great man.
Craig did the same thing, but... stepped up, and I met him for the first time through the LLS, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Man of the Year campaign for Team Hutton, and he was a part of that. And we got together this past week, and he brought gifts with him. And I had no idea about this, but he has three of these. He kept one, he gave Coach Mack one, and then he gifted this to me. And it will go in the office, it will be in the backdrop for all of our Zoom chats or News Channel 5, but I wanted to unveil this live on the air for you guys because this is next level. This is the next level of what we've been wanting for the show. And
dun, 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 dun.
From Duke Turnbow, Paul, would you like to pull out the
Paul,
gift?
Paul, please do the honor.
I would love to.
Excited.
No, don't break it. Just pull it out. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
It is the Midday 180 bobblehead, complete with David Reed, Paul Kuharski, myself, and Chad Withrow.
That.
Paul, your thoughts.
Is sick. I am Hasselbeck.
How great does that look? Is that spot on or what?
That is awesome. David Reed looks like the dude from Tool Time.
Well, they even got the eye color right. Like, they've got me with blue eyes, which blows me away.
Hutton is dead on.
What do you think, Chad? That is you,
Hutton. I think it's good. Just from this angle, it does look like me. Definitely looks like
Hutton. Reed is good. Paul does look like Hasselbeck.
See, I think Reed,
Paul's got a little more hair on the sides, I feel like, though, than normal.
It looks just like Reed to me.
Yeah. It is Reed.
I sent a photo of this to David
a little
Reed.
Skinnier than Reed. The only thing would be the torso is a little off, but everything, the face is
Reed,
perfect.
what do you think of the bobbleheads?
Glorious!
I'm so glad that I was finally, that beard was finally immortalized in plastic, because I almost lost it in a tragic grilling accident yesterday. But that thing is absolutely amazing.
You almost lit your beard on fire?
Among the rest of my torso as well, yes.
Wow. Another accident for A to Z to make fun of.
Those should be available for Christmas.
Kirby, what do you think of the Midday 180 bobblehead?
Kirby's
that is the one person short. I think it's pretty cool, but I mean, you know, you need a raggedy old mad guy hanging around this.
Kirby gets his own bobblehead eventually.
That's next. Is we need a Kirby Allen Kirby bobblehead.
Kirby's the one person
paired.
Who gets his own
you stand
bobblehead.
So you're off on the side smoking.
This will be paired with
not being helpful.
This will be paired with the Coach Mac bobblehead on the desk in the office. But Duke Turnbow came through in a major way. Everybody roared when they saw this at the Mac Hutt dinner.
Fantastic.
That is incredible. Thank you, Duke Turnbow. Great man for making that happen. That's really cool.
Chad, here it is on,
we're all taking
on the table.
Pictures.
Here it is on the table with Coach Mac.
Oh, that's so good.
So, yes, we thank you, Duke.
Yeah,
we
thank
have the
you,
Midday
Duke
180
Turnbow.
The bobblehead, we're going to tweet this out.
I'm almost speechless.
Paul, for my picture purposes, get your damn PaulKuharski.com out of there.
That's perfect.
Chad,
get the logo in the back.
I was trying to remember when you wore that shirt.
The first thing that jumped out to me was, looks like me. I've never worn a shirt like that. I don't really have a button-up short-sleeve shirt. Now, I do have...
You wear that in Nebraska.
So, here's where I think they got it. My Instagram... avatar is in a shirt just like this, but it's long sleeve. But you can't really see it in the headshot, right?
Wanted to show
so
off
I think
guns.
They probably just took that and made it a short sleeve shirt.
All right, my turn.
615-737-1045, our number.
Just terrific.
Chad, you mentioned Ty Simpson to Brent Hubbs in recruiting. You saw Ty Simpson this weekend, didn't you?
I did indeed. This should be a tease. For Vol fans out there, it's big. It's big. It's big news.
Okay, we'll get into this.
Did not meet Ty Simpson, and the reason that I did not meet him, and two other people in my crew did, is a funny one.
You were trying to hurt the program,
but I've got it. It could be construed that way. Unfortunately, by no attempt of my own to hurt the program, I was trying to help out a friend, and in turn, may have hurt the program. We'll discuss.
I'm disgusted by this story.
You would have loved it if it were you and I were helping you out, but I didn't know that I wasn't helping someone out.
So hurtful.
So we'll get into that. Also, Paul, we need to get into the story that's been put to bed. The Titans reportedly fined $350,000 for their COVID-19 violations, and that will be it.
Yeah. I don't like the way the league handled this at the end, and I'll tell everybody why.
We'll get into that, and we also have John Feinstein at 11:15. Midday 180, check the social media accounts here during the break. You can see the Midday 180 bobbleheads and comment on the best likeness of the four of us. All that's missing is Kirby Allen Kirby. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
This is your home for Titans football.
Big Jeff Jeffrey Simmons.
104.5 The Zone.